life on the road. It's
booze, tacos, angry dwarves, strippers waving guns,
and
bees, fights, candle flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette, drunks in the front, making out through your set,
and
middle acts doing blow more, missing merch,
and
drive the rental car past another mega church,
and
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone, one big Law and Order marathon.
You guys don't have to be quiet when I do this in the intro, so you can talk if you'd like. Thanks for tuning in the Road Stories podcast, everybody. I'm your host, Murray Valeriano, part of the All Things Comedy Network. We're back at the Mar Vista Studios, Casa de Valeriano, care of Steve-O Dockerson, Hob the Troll. He made me man-size nipple pins. So they're the Earl, they're the size of your nipples, I assume.
They're bigger.
Oh, all right. We'll get into that. So there you go, Road Stories pins. And I'm out of shirt. You already have a shirt. I might have a shirt for you.
I don't deserve one because I was late.
Right. For the record, he brought it up that he was late. My people get mad at me when I make fun of people for being late.
This is early for you. You like to sleep late.
I had a... I had a girlfriend. She was running a little behind, getting ready in the makeup.
Sure.
So it's my bad.
Does she know this is a podcast and nobody can see her?
Oh,
she's not coming.
No, oh. She's not. She came last night.
She's in the car.
She came last night.
I'm probably going to throw Courtney under the bus here real quick, and then I'll introduce everybody. Courtney said, oh, Earl's late? Oh, he's always late. And then you walk up and you go, man, I'm never late.
I don't think I am.
Yo, the last few times we hung out, I think you were a little late.
In Nashville, I was waiting for you to get ready.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, I like to start a fight on my podcast.
Apparently.
And then just sit back and let it go. Joining us today, no stranger to the show, Courtney Cronin.
Hello.
One of my, how do you say oldest friend without making it sound old? Like somebody I've known a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Like at least 18 years.
At least
18
that's
years.
Right.
Yeah. And then a cat I've been wanting to get on the show for a while, Earl Skakel, joins the show.
Yeah, better late than never.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, man, we live in a town of traffic. You're not the only one who's late. At least you're cool about, you were texting me saying, hey, traffic, I'm here. Start without me if you need to, blah, blah, blah. I had a guy, I won't say his name, Brian Moses, was recording at your homie, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was recording at 1 o'clock. I think it was him and Mike Marino. And at 5 to 1, they're like, hey, we're pulling through the In-N-Out drive-thru. You want anything to eat? The closest In-N-Out burger is like a half an hour away.
Oh, my God. Well, I got here right at 12:30, like literally.
Oh, that's true.
I thought I was going to be late.
You were the one who said you were going to be late, but you got here on time.
I did.
Yes.
Well, it's just crazy, the traffic. I mean, I live in West Hollywood.
Right.
Just to get to La Cienega and Pico took me 25 minutes.
Yeah, La Cienega's a nightmare. Are they still doing construction on that road?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, Robertson's an alternate. To get the viewership up talking about the local
LA.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all five listeners, my Australian listeners are like, what is he talking about?
We're doing our version of the Californians.
Yeah. Real quick, before I forget, I will be in London in a couple of weeks. My wife got nominated for a BAFTA award, so I will be there.
How exciting.
Awesome.
Also, an Oscar. Just found out today.
What?
That
is so exciting.
Yes. So I'll be in London. I'm going to have a couple days off because she's got a bunch of stuff to do. So London listeners, I'm pointing at the recording. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm talking to the computer. London listeners, hit me up. I'm looking for something to stuff to do. All right. That's enough about me. Hi. I had a lot of coffee today.
Yeah, I can tell. You're like the ultimate warrior.
Super jittery right now.
I had one of those bulletproof coffees. Like,
what is that?
Where you put the butter in it and everything. I'm like trying to do that because I literally gained a person over the holidays. So.
The guy, comic was opening for me in November, told me about that butter and coffee. What does that do?
It's just like protein and it's like good fat. So like when you're burning calories, you're actually just burning straight fat. It's like a whole thing, but I'm kind of digging it.
Okay.
I don't really have time to make breakfast and I don't want to be like trying to like, it takes a long time to make like a protein breakfast.
Right. Right.
Know? So I'm just making a coffee, plopping a butter in it, whipping it up and
all right,
it's not bad.
Yeah. I heard good things about it. I've never done it, but I had to go get my throat checked out and the woman's like, do you drink alcohol? Like, yeah. Do you eat late at night? Yeah. Do you have weird hours? Yeah. Oh, well, you have some sort of reflux going on. I'm like, you could just sum up that whole interview with like, are you a comedian?
Yeah, exactly.
Just because I stay up late, I eat late, and I drink, of course.
Yeah, I'm no stranger to Zantac. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. It's a new thing. Do you have to do that?
I take the spray, Zantac. It's a miracle drug.
Is it really?
Sick. It gets, I don't know what's in it.
I don't either.
Might be the placebo effect for me.
Okay.
But it's 24 hours. You're good.
No, we're up to
it. Yeah, I like it.
All right, we'll be back with old people's problems.
Now old comedians talking about their health problems.
This week, I'm going to call this Headbanger's Ball.
Okay.
I'm going to call this episode Headbanger or the Heavy Metal Hour. What do you think?
That works.
Yeah? All right. Because you both are very into music.
Yeah, well, I like Headbanger's Ball because I used to sit next to Ricky Rackman at the King Games.
Oh, really?
Did you really?
Are you from Los Angeles? You're not from
Yeah.
You are?
Born
and raised. All right. What's Ricky Rackman up to these days? Haven't heard from him
in a while.
Not
much.
And he wasn't the original host of Headbanger's Ball.
I think he was, and then it was Adam Curry.
Oh, I thought Adam Curry came first.
I thought Ricky Rackman came
first. Oh, I could be wrong. I don't know. But I don't know.
This is a while ago. So.
Yeah, that's true.
He still does show. Like, he produces a lot of shows. I always see his name on stuff.
I think he's doing a podcast now.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Who is
it? Yeah, right.
My janitor's doing a podcast. But I don't think it's doing that well because he's talking about the Cat House days, which was his very
famous club
that's
here.
That's what it is. Okay.
But where was it? Was that on Highland?
That was, well, it moved around. Okay. But I think the, like where Guns N' Roses used to play was on Highland.
Yeah. I saw some band there, like right when I first got to town, and I think it closed down shortly after, and they moved on to prominence, but I forget who it was. I'm not much of a heavy metal guy anymore, or
who
was ever.
In 2019?
Well.
It's over, Johnny.
I love seeing those guys walk around West Hollywood, though, who still think it's 1987, in like leopard skin tight pants and long hair and a scarf.
They still do. They still dress the same as they did 30 years ago.
Oh, they love it. I mean, I got to open up for Stephen Piercy at the Whiskey.
Oh, you did?
And backstage, which is the manager's office.
Right, of course.
The Whiskey. I walk in, there's like 100 people, and Stephen sees me. He's like, "Hey, everyone, this is my favorite comic ever." And he forgot my name.
Yes!
I'm like, Earl.
That's hilarious.
So he still lives like it's 1984.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been on Rock Solid. The music.
Stephen Piercy has?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The music podcast co-host.
That's Earl's favorite band, Rat.
Is Rat
your
favorite
band? He left that
part out. But he's great, though. Like he's not bitter. He gets it. I had a nice life. I sold 20 million records or whatever it was. 2019, I can still tour as Rat and, you know.
Rat and Roll was their first big album, right?
Out of the Cellar.
Out of the Cellar. Out of the Cellar.
And then they, you know, they had a nice run for about 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, they got, you know what song I like by them? Way Cool Junior.
Yeah.
That's a good tune.
Well, it's like blues bass.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Warren D. Martini's a very, very
He's
good
guitar player. He's an amazing guitar player, yeah.
But his problem is he comes from money.
Oh.
So he doesn't want to do these like...
So he's not driven.
Well, he wants to do like the big, you know, festival dates and stuff like that, but he doesn't want to go to Jacksonville to play like the biker rally.
Yeah.
Whereas Piercy is like, let's go.
80s weekend. I actually roasted their tour manager.
You what?
Their first tour manager.
Oh, who was it?
Charlie Hernandez.
Oh, okay.
He's worked with Ozzy and he works with Sting now. His name's Charlie. So we roasted. We did like
a
roadies roast in Vegas and I produced it. And I somehow ended up being the roast master, which I never want to do ever again, ever, ever.
Right.
But we roasted Charlie, and it was basically like a surprise roast. He thought he was roasting his friend Ron Stern, who does Farm Aid and has worked with everybody.
Yeah,
and,
that guy needs it.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
That guy needs to be taken down a few notches.
Oh man, he is a grumpy old man. He is a grumpy old man. But he, we set it up like it was Ron's roast, and then we turned the tables on him and made it his. So he'd been working on all this material. So I was working with him on it, and he's like, you know, I can do this because I'm, you know, I used to tour with Rat, and you know, Milton Berle's, was it his nephew that was
Marshall.
Their manager?
Oh, I was going to ask
so
about
he's like,
that.
So I was always around him and Milton Berle. So I know comedy, I know jokes. So that I said that during the roast, and I was like, well, I fuck CC DeVille. That doesn't mean I can play guitar. So, which I didn't. I did not. But yeah, so he was really cool. That was a fun time roasting all the
that would have been fun.
The roadies. It was really fun.
Now, what is the connection with Milton Berle and it was
Marshall was Rat's first manager. So that's why he was in the first two videos.
Okay.
And he got them signed to Atlantic Records when like everyone had passed on.
Right.
Like, now you guys. So he arranged one last showcase at the what is now the Saban Theater.
Is
it Saban or Saban?
I don't know.
I think. It's what I've been calling it for a long time.
Right.
Saban, Saban.
What was the second music video that he was in? I only remember
Everyone remembers Round and Round.
Round and Round.
And then he was at the end of Back for More when Rat's playing at the Roxy. The motorcycle crashes through the front. And the guy, it's clearly not Milton Berle,
right.
The stunt guy. And then the guy takes off the helmet and it's Milton Berle. That's so stupid.
I love the Stay the Night video with Chicago. Remember that? It was like an action sequence with Peter Cetera like jumping out of a truck and then like doing like a roll.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jumping out of the way of a car. Remember? And he was like hanging off the car singing Stay the Night. It was the weirdest video.
I'm thinking of Along Comes a Woman. Priscilla Barnes was in, which was the third Chrissy. On was in it, and she's married to one of my best friends, Ted. And I just saw the video like a year ago because I really started getting into Chicago within the last 2 years. I'm like, holy shit, that's Priscilla.
That's the one where he's the mechanic, right? Is Along Comes a Woman when he's the mechanic?
Yes, okay. Yes. And then the really sappy one, this has always pissed me off, which I don't remember what it is. He's wearing a Bauhaus t-shirt just to be cool. Just to kind of get
Peter Cetera?
Yes, Peter Cetera is wearing a Bauhaus t-shirt and one of those really soft, you know, crappy melodic
like
stuff that makes
hard
me
hard habit to
I
break
love that
or
yeah oh no please I love it but it's totally cheesy but he always wore a Bauhaus t-shirt and it always made me so mad.
Well, that's like the Rat video for Wanted Man where they're five cowboys. It's like they're all like tough, you know, like Clint Eastwood type. Right. Like, come on, you guys. This is overreaching.
There was a time when musicians took themselves way too seriously in those videos, man.
Yeah.
But right. That's when they had budgets for storylines and, you know, like Stryper's video for Always There For You. It's like that had to cost $1 million. Like,
really?
And a helicopter and like this wild stunt sequence. Like, this was not needed for the video.
How did Stryper, you know, you're talking to, my dad was a Southern Baptist preacher. I grew up in the church, went to church all the time. How did Stryper get cool? Like people like
I don't think they did.
I was just about to say, when did that happen?
I thought all you metalheads were listening to Stryper too.
I don't know any Stryper. I just know that one song where they had the video, the big video with the big stage and all
on,
the
that's
yellow and
always
black.
There for you.
It is? Okay, yeah, that's the only one I know.
Well, they were so visually, you know, in the black and yellow bumblebee outfits.
Right, right.
And the drummer did the Night Ranger thing where he was sideways.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
In this massive kit.
Yeah.
They just looked visually, and they would throw Bibles out into the crowd.
Oh, of course.
So they were showmen and great musicians, but they'll never get credit for it.
Oh, really?
I mean, the singer, Michael Sweet, is now in Boston. Like that.
Oh, he's covering Bradley Delford?
Oh, yeah. Is that who that is?
So,
I didn't know that. Great.
He's the pipes that he has.
Yeah, yeah.
You look at him back in the Stryper days, it's like, oh, Jesus. What's this?
Oh, I didn't know he was filling in for Brad Delford. Wow, that's impressive. That guy was an amazing singer. I get to see him at the rehearsals, though. He's like, when we say, you see my Marion walking away, can we just say Jesus Christ?
Yeah. Right
there? Can we have a helicopter flying when the solo comes in? Like,
do you guys do the Kiss conventions together?
We did a Rock and Pod convention together in August, and it's like it's all the rock and roll podcasts, like Decibel Geek and Pods and Sods, and all part of most of the Podkiss network. It's like a lot of Kiss people, really, mostly. And then there's other rock podcasts, and it was really cool. We did it 2 years ago, and then the first year was really fun. But last year I thought they did a pretty good job. I thought it was fun.
Oh, I know Decibel Geeks are probably going to listen to this. So
they're great.
Oh yeah, those guys are awesome. And they had like shows at night after the what do you call it? I guess an expo during the day.
And all day.
Yeah, and there was like music merch there and like really cool stuff. And then they had the bands and the guests do like a panel up on stage so you could come up and ask questions.
So bands play.
they do at night at the Mercy Lounge. We went,
which
is a great venue in Nashville. And Tora Tora played, and Angel, and Ron Keel. What was the band Ron Keel was in?
Keel.
Was it just the Ron Keel? Keel. Keel. Sorry.
Kept it simple.
Wait, I think it was his band Ron.
But then he went country.
I didn't know who he was.
Did Ron Keel go country?
He went under the name for like 10 years, Ronnie Lee Keel.
Oh. Okay.
It's like when Ron Jeremy changed his name to Ron Hyatt to be in mainstream films. It's like, dude, you're not really fooling anyone. Yeah. We know that's you.
Well, Ron Keel doesn't, he didn't like me. He hated me.
Oh, really?
Well, for a dumb reason. Like,
you didn't know the name of his band?
Yeah.
I know. Isn't that terrible? I just didn't know who he was. I'd never heard his
name
before.
Are you in the band
that.
Ron?
Yeah.
I love your band, Ron. No, I just interrupted. Someone was like, where's Craig? He's supposed to be on our, Craig Gass was with us as well. And he's like, where's Craig? He's supposed to be on our show right now. And I'm like, I don't know. And they go, well, can you go find him? And someone said, oh, they saw him go through this door. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll be right back. And Craig gets distracted, and I can just see him wandering off. So I was like, okay. So I went to find him, and I just went behind the stage, and I just went, Craig, are you back here? And I hear, we're recording back here, like really loud and angry. And I was like, oh, sorry. Sorry. And then he kind of pokes his head out, and I went, I'm sorry. The guys from, I forget what show it was, one of the rock, I forget. And they're like, they're looking for you. And Ron Keel was like, well, we're recording back here now. He's supposed to be back here now. And I was like, oh, I'm really sorry. And I left. Well, he was next to us, like the table next to us. He was like glaring at me. He wouldn't talk to me. I was like, come on, man. Come on.
It's Ronnie Lee Keel for you.
Yeah.
So I missed his set at the Mercy Lounge, and I'm okay with that.
That's a guy who's probably pretty bitter. Like,
yeah. Oh, he was mean.
But at least Piercy gets it. Like,
right.
You know, Ronnie Keel was like literally a D-level band in the 80s, which was, if you didn't crack through, not the best band probably. So I can imagine his mental state in 2018.
Oh, you know who?
He looks good, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a pretty good looking dude. I mean,
that's good. That's what you just got to keep good looking, right? And you can, you know, Vince Neil has gone downhill.
I just saw
rapidly.
Him two nights in a row.
Oh, how was he? I hear he has a terrible voice now.
No, he did not sound bad. I have to stick up for the guy. He sounded pretty good. He's just unhealthy. It's not just his weight, but he's unhealthy. And he couldn't keep up.
Is he sick?
I just think he's just not taking good care of himself.
But he never has.
But it's really bad now. I mean, you can see it in his face. Like, he just looks really tired and a little drunk and, like, you know, definitely overweight. But his band is Slaughter.
The guys from Slaughter?
It is. It's the drummer and the guitar and bass player from Slaughter. And they're the show to me. I mean, Zoltan, the drummer, you've seen him, right?
I mean, he's a little too much for me.
I like it, though.
He's a wild showman.
Like, yeah.
Big time.
Oh, I like the name Zoltan.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad.
Yeah.
Is that given or is that a stage name?
I don't know. It could be real. I had a friend named Zoltan when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a comic, Zoltan.
Oh, wait.
Very funny guy.
That sounds familiar.
San Diego area.
Yeah.
Very, very funny.
Yeah,
Zoltan, Kansas is his name.
His last name's Kansas?
Yeah.
But he just goes by
that
Zoltan, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like a gay porn name.
Zoltan, Kansas. Starring Ronnie Lee Keel.
Yeah.
Soundtrack by Vince Neil. Because I saw Motley Crue on their final show in Anaheim, and I've never seen this before, but he comes out. They do Kickstart My Heart is the first song.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't even make it through the chorus. He's like, oh, yeah.
That's what he did when I saw
him. Oh, really? A lot of reaching out and let the people sing?
And I sat in the front row.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the mic's literally over my head. And I'm like, I'm not singing, dude. I paid $1,000 a ticket. You're singing.
Yeah.
So he was exhausted before the first chorus of the first song.
Yeah.
He leaves the stage and had the guys take over and do a couple songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he leaves.
Oh, he did that at Rocklahoma, too, I saw. It
was Rocklahoma, that's what I was trying to think of.
It was the best.
That 80s metal concert every year, right?
Well, I only went the first year
because
I knew the first year would be the best.
Okay.
Because they would be happy to be in front of crowds.
Uh-huh. Sure.
They wouldn't want that much money. And then they'd go, oh, wow, we're famous again. We want more money.
Right, okay.
And that's exactly what happened.
Oh, who was there?
Rat, of course.
That's why you went.
Twisted Sister, Full Gear.
Oh, that's cool.
Jackal.
Oh, wow.
Jackal
with the chainsaw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're from the South.
Right.
So the crowd was eating out of their hands.
Sure.
And then Vince Neil's solo band. Vince left the stage for probably three songs.
Yeah.
Wow.
The band's so great, though.
Yeah, I mean, I forget who was in the band at that time, but they like started just doing Zeppelin covers.
Yeah, that's what they did. They did, I think, Whole Lot of Love.
I mean, I want to hear, like, I don't know, Home Sweet Home or something.
Right, right. So. I just started getting into Motley Crue like 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Like, for some reason, I don't know, like, all of a sudden, I got their greatest hits, and then I went back and got their first album, and I just started really getting into them.
Yeah, there's some fun tunes. Did you hear, there was an article recently about this guy in Canada got pulled over. He was going, like, 9,500 miles an hour, and the cop pulled him over, and his excuse was that he was listening to Kickstart My Heart, and that's why he was speeding, because it was on the radio, and the cop was listening to the same radio station.
Oh, hilarious.
So, you know, he was listening to the same song, but the guy still got the ticket, obviously, but what a lame excuse. It's like, sorry, I was just listening to Motley Crue, and it was like, I couldn't get farther away from this song fast enough. Like, why were you speeding? But I don't know. I just thought that was the best speeding excuse. Kickstart My Heart.
Real quick on the last metal tip here. I went to summer school with the guys from, I get them either Trickster or Kix.
Oh, Kix is awesome.
It might have been Kix.
Where did you go to summer school?
North Jersey.
It was Trickster.
It was Trickster? It was? Okay.
That's where they're from.
Okay.
Okay.
This is great. I know.
The guy from Trickster was at our show the other night. Yeah. He hated me.
Oh, wait. Trickster's the guy I went to summer school with?
Yeah, they had they came in. You talk about getting to the party an hour late. They got there in like 91, 92.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Where there was still just a little bit of after the pie.
Yeah, yeah.
They just didn't get there fast enough. They had one hit.
Right.
Give It to Me Good. And I saw them open up for Kiss at this really weird. This is when Kiss was kind of like on their third downfall. It was at a warehouse in San Bernardino.
Mm-hmm.
Like, jeez. Orange County Fairgrounds.
Right, right.
But it's like the concert venue is literally just this huge steel. You know, it's like one of those things you see on the infomercial, the steel, you can buy the steel garage. Right.
Was this the first farewell tour?
This is the revenge tour.
Oh, revenge. So they had
the non-makeup.
Okay, what era, what was that, like?
92.
Like, okay.
Early
90s, like, was Eric Carr still there?
Carr just died.
Just died, if it's
so
92.
Eric Singer was the new drummer. And
I've hung with Eric Singer a few times.
Great guy. He's excellent, a great guy. Podcast guest, because he just talks.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've been wanting to get him on. Yeah, I've been wanting to get him on.
But he's afraid.
Podcast, though. Yeah, he said he doesn't like to do podcasts.
Well, he talks so much that I know he's afraid that he'll say something about Gene or Paul.
All right.
And then he's out of a gig.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's going to be out of a gig soon, isn't he?
Well, no.
No, it's going to take
stopping.
3 years for them to do this farewell,
oh, really?
Tour. Yeah, because they're taking long breaks in between, which is not a bad idea.
When are they just going to do like a Blue Man Group and just have different people in the makeup playing all over the place?
I mean, think that's a terrible idea. I mean, certainly after the last Kiss Expo in Indianapolis in May. You know, the Todd Kearns, who plays with Slash, mm-hmm. he does, he's with in Bruce Kulick's band, who was a guitarist for Kiss, you know, and the way he sings the songs, it's just nuts. Like, everybody loses their mind.
Oh,
he's
really?
So incredibly talented, isn't he, Earl? They call him Tall Stanley. People want him to come in and replace Paul. Like, that's the chatter.
Well, they do the 80s. The Army. He does like the 80s.
They do like Animalize, Revenge, and all that stuff. Yeah, look it up.
And that's very hard to sing, 80s Kiss, because it was a lot of high
pitch
screams.
Sure.
And Paul just, you know, Paul's like in his, what, mid
60s? Yeah, he's like 65.
I will say that Greg Barrett was on the show not too long ago, and we were talking about his kid's school where all these rock stars go. And by the way, this is the Road Stories podcast. We'll get to it eventually.
Sorry.
It's my. I'm over here having a good time. People,
well, I'm
like,
so used to talking about music with both of you.
I know, exactly.
Well, it's such a fascinating like era of like shitty music.
Yeah.
Like, it still holds up.
It does hold up.
Weird. And I have never met anybody whose favorite band is Rat. I don't even think Stephen Pearcy's mom's favorite band is Rat.
Well, I mean, they could have been a lot bigger, but they got too big too fast, so they got cocky. And
sure.
Like, they could have been on the Top Gun soundtrack. They said no.
Oh, really?
Which
they said no. Oh.
They did Eddie Murphy's Golden Child instead, which at the time, Eddie Murphy was a huge star.
True.
But that was a flop, wasn't it?
Oh, it was horrible.
Yeah, yeah. That was probably one of the worst. That's probably the worst Eddie, well, not the worst, but at the time, the worst Eddie Murphy movie.
Yeah, I mean, but like Berlin still tours off their song. Like,
oh,
Top Gun soundtrack.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just little, you know, they just bad management. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Marshall. Milton might have been your uncle, but you were not a good manager.
All right, so. Well, watch me turn this around. How was it opening for Pearcy at the Whiskey, though? That must have been cool.
Well, it was tough. Like, they wanted to see him.
Sure.
And, you know, I've opened up for Motorhead before, which was even worse.
Really?
Because they're very hardcore. Because I was dating their manager.
Okay.
And the guitar player, Phil Campbell, was like, I'm not going on unless you go on and do comedy.
The night of?
He was crazy.
My sister used to live next door to Phil.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not kidding. She lived
really?
Next door to Phil. Yes.
He's into all kinds of things.
Okay. Like Nazi.
No, that's Lemmy.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. But Jessica said he collected all this stuff. He had all this weird stuff in his place.
Lemmy had.
Lemmy was a pack rat, wasn't he?
Well, I used to have to clean his house.
Oh, really?
Because I lived next to him, and my girlfriend at the time was like, hey, you got to go over there and see if he's alive.
Right.
Because he would go like a couple days without contacting them. And every time I went over there, he was at the pool in his Daisy Dukes.
Short, denim shorts.
I mean, short.
Yeah.
With a black stripper. And he would just look up from the pool and go, Earl, I'm okay. So he collected Nazi memorabilia. He wasn't...
Right. Oh, it was Lemmy that did that.
Pro-Nazi.
Okay. Sure. Just,
like, he had Hitler's China.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of bases. And it's really hard to explain his apartment. You couldn't see the carpet. There was so much stuff, CDs,
sure.
Video games, and Polaroids of various situations.
By the pool.
So Piercy was, he might have been intoxicated at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you're going out there, man.
So you weren't planning to go out there either?
Well, he says, come by and check us out and go up. I'm like, no, dude, I just want to watch you guys perform.
Right.
Because I know... When it's someone like Stephen Piercy at the Whiskey, they just want to see him.
Yeah, they're hardcore fans.
They don't want to hear a comic.
Sure.
Same thing with Motorhead. I did like 10 minutes. And
yeah.
It was pretty rough.
Did you get introduced at all, or did you have to go
Not
cold?
Really.
You had to go cold?
I think the sound guy's like, hey, Stephen wants this guy to do comedy.
Oh, my God. I love a DJ horrible intro.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, even the sound guy was like, dude, you don't want to go out there. I'm like, it's not up to me. It's like, Piercy's like... Yeah, and he's great. Like, he's so good to me. But I'm like, dude, I don't think this is the right venue. They want to see you.
Right.
He's like, So, I mean, I did as good as you could have.
Sure.
But I still bombed.
Right.
Like, but I don't like opening up for bands.
Well, how was Motorhead?
And then Motorhead, how's the language on this? Can I say what they actually said?
Yes.
This is not my words. I took... two steps on the stage and heard from the front row, get off the stage, faggot.
Yes.
But Phil was adamant that you're doing comedy or I'm not going on. And he was that way. He
really?
Would have walked out if I didn't go on. So I did about 10 minutes and bombed.
Where was this at?
At the Whiskey. I don't do very well at the Whiskey.
Maybe take it off the 2019 tour.
It's not really built for comedy either because the stage is high and people are looking up at you if you're on the floor.
Yeah, it's just, and both times it was packed.
Right.
Motorhead, like, for them to play the Whiskey is like,
oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and I'm sure.
Piercy has a huge local fan base because that's where they started.
Is it LA band also?
But they just, you know, when I go see a concert, I don't want to see stand-up.
Right.
Mm-mm.
You know, like, what concert was I at recently? The Weezer, there's some music festival on Saturday at the Forum. And the DJs would come. It was The Killers, Weezer, Muse. And in between acts, the local radio DJs would, they weren't doing stand-up, but they were, like, trying to get the crowd going. It was horrible.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. No.
And I was like, I know how you guys feel.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry. I saw Rich Scheidner open for the Monkees, like
recently.
No, this was like probably 30 years ago,
5
years ago. But he was great.
Yeah.
And this was in the old the amphitheater, the Universal amphitheater.
Oh yeah, I like that
before
place.
They tore that down. Yeah,
that place was great.
And he came out, and I was like, wow! I was so impressed.
Right.
I couldn't believe he like had a good set in front of a band in that venue, and he did. He killed. It was
well,
great.
He was on this show and told me about the first time he opened for a band, and it was the Ramones.
Oh,
in
that
DC,
really,
and this
awful.
Was like late '70s, so clubs weren't around. People really didn't know what stand-up was, and you can go back and listen. I don't want to tell this whole story, but in a nutshell, he just got pelted with beer cans and he made a bet with the manager. He's like, I bet you don't last 10 minutes. He's like, I'll make it 10 minutes. He's like, if you make it 10 minutes, I'll give you an extra $100.
Oh, that's
so
great.
He just got pelted for 10 minutes, made his 10 minute mark, walked off, and he passes Johnny Ramone, and Johnny goes,
I dig your act, man.
I mean, I think it depends on how you're set up. Like, you know, if, like Steven or Lemmy would have come out and said, hey, this is my friend. I want you to listen.
Oh,
to
absolutely.
Him.
That would be
That's
nice.
How you do it.
Yeah.
I think you could survive it, but like just to have some random person. I've only seen one comic do well, and it was Gary Muehldehr.
Okay.
There was a St. Jude's cancer benefit, and it was Robbie Krieger was organizing it.
Sure.
So, okay. Like the guy from the Cars, the guitar player, he did three songs, and then various acts, and they were having technical difficulties. So Gary Muehldehr got thrown out there, and he killed.
Really?
He was so funny. Like, well, he had his guitar, and
right.
he's doing these musical zingers. It was impressive.
That's cool. Well, who's going to boo somebody at a cancer benefit, too? I mean, that's...
Oh, well, hang on a second. Well, no, it wasn't a cancer benefit, but this was really bad. There was a benefit at the Comedy Store, and a friend of Sean Polofsky, who's a friend of all three
Sean's
of us.
Sean's been on the show, sure.
Sean, yes. And so she had a friend whose baby died. Mm. And it was of some weird, random, awful disease. It was the most tragic thing. He was like 8 months old. It was Ugh. Just horrible. So she wanted to do a benefit for him. And I don't know who was like, let's do a comedy show, but that was what happened.
Yeah.
So before the show, they had a silent auction. And so they had stuff like all over the room in the main room. And then they had these big easels up on the stage of like pictures of the baby.
Ugh.
There were four of them and they were huge. I mean, it was just like heartbreaking. And then we found out backstage that that the benefit had raised $100,000 to plant trees in Israel in the name of the baby.
Okay.
Some like tree. I don't understand what the charity is, but apparently that's like a big thing.
Trees for Israel.
Right. Trees for Israel.
TFI.
Hey, we need trees. $100,000, that's a lot of trees. So I'm like, wow, they made $100,000. So you're thinking, oh, comics, you know, we're all millionaires.
Right.
You know, sounds like we're going to get compensated nicely for this,
sure.
you know? So, you know, and when you do a benefit, you don't expect to get something, but the people always give you something
right.
is like, you know, because they know we're all, you know, comics and we don't have $1 million.
And
so
it's the work we do for money.
It's our work. It's our job. Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're not even going to believe this. So the show starts, and I don't know why, but the pictures were still out there.
Oh.
And Frazier Smith, God bless his best MC in the world soul, goes out there to start the show and is standing between the four photos
oh,
of the
man.
Baby. And it's just tough. Oh, hang on. I left out the best part. Before the show, the people that ran the event came out to thank everybody. And then talked about the baby that died and how sad it was.
Absolutely.
And now comedy.
Yes.
Okay. So Frazier, you know, he woke him up. It was good. We're transitioning. And then I had to go out. I didn't know the pictures were still out there. I went mm-hmm. first. And it was like, oh my God. And most of my set at the time was about trying to get pregnant. And I'm like, fuck, I can't do this.
Oh no.
So like, I just had to jump around and I could see people in the crowd. People were like looking down. Some people were like really sad because there were other people who lost their babies from this disease there.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is the most depressing thing ever. So when I came backstage, I'm like, we need to take the pictures down now. So someone just went out there and they're like, hey, we're just going to move the pictures because someone needed to use the stage and they just made nothing big deal.
Right, right.
And whatever. So I'm in the back of the room just watching the show and this pregnant woman comes up to me and she's like, hey, how's the show going? And I was like, oh, it's going pretty well. She's like, hi, I'm Jen. I'm Sean's friend. I'm the one who organized this. And I was like, oh, it's nice to meet you. And she's like, hey, I've got a little something for the comics to thank them for all the hard work and everything. And I'm like, that's thank you. That's so generous.
Right.
She handed me $20 Starbucks cards for everybody.
Oh, okay. Right.
So I was like, oh, thanks. So she gives them to me and now I'm already like, but you guys raise $100,000 and you can't throw us like actual $20.
Right,
like you're
right.
giving us coffee. All right, whatever. So, I mean, it was something.
Sure.
So I hope I don't sound like an awful person.
No, not at all.
This, but like it was something. So she goes, well, how'd the show go? I go, well, it got off to a little bit of a slow start. It was a little hard to do the show with the picture still up there.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it was just so sad, but it's going a lot better now. So, you know, and I said, the show's going really well. Now she goes, well, I can't imagine why pictures of my baby would be sad. Or I don't know why it would be so hard to do comedy with pictures of my beautiful baby up there. It was the mother. She was pregnant again already.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was her.
Ooh.
Oops. Oops. Yeah.
Ah, that must have been uncomfortable.
Incredibly.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, no, it's not that. It's just, you know, I'm so sorry for your loss. And it's just such a tragedy. And to transfer, you know, transition from that into comedy is just very difficult. So, and I just thought I played it right. And then she goes, well, why don't you go in the back and give these to the comedians? I'm like, okay, bye. And I just took the cards and went in the back. I'm like, hey, everybody, here's your Starbucks cards. And everyone was like, really? They raised $100,000? Thanks for the Starbucks cards. I won't say who's back there, but a couple people were not.
I could guess. Thrilled.
So, yeah. So then the next day she wrote about me in her blog.
Oh, no.
About the show. And she was like, one of the comedians, I know she didn't mean to, but she just said something about my baby's pictures and it just broke my heart. And I'm like, oh, God, come on. I'm sorry. Of course I didn't mean anything wrong.
Right, right, right.
But you guys know, can you imagine trying to do a set between four pictures of a baby that died?
Oh, no. Listen, I think you're preaching to the choir here. Oh,
yeah. I mean, it was horrible.
I just lost a lot of listeners, but I still think you're preaching.
No. Yeah, that was like the most uncomfortable thing of all time.
How are you to know who that was, though? You know what I mean?
She was not showing pregnant, and right. I thought the baby had passed fairly recently. It had been over a year.
Okay.
So, yeah. Which is why I guess they felt like tragedy plus time equals com-o-d. Let's do a comedy show for the dead baby. Oh,
man. That's a comedy
store. The only thing that's really not funny.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty much the only thing that's not funny.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
At the comedy store.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she probably got knocked up at the comedy store.
Could be.
Ah, those potluck nights. Who knows what's going to happen?
Like the bar in Star Wars.
Oh, my God. You don't even need penetration in that back room. You can just take your pants off, sit on the floor. And that was very dirty. I'm sorry. That's not me. That's not me. I'm sorry. Right.
Earl said faggot earlier. You're fine.
You did.
Well, I know. I was just relaying what the crowd yelled at me. I live in West Hollywood. I'm down with the homosexual community.
What other bands have you opened for?
That's it.
You're done. Huh?
I just don't enjoy it.
Like, no,
I'm done doing gigs I don't enjoy.
But you have the perfect set to open for a band. I can see why they'd want you to.
If I was set up properly, I would say to the lead singer, because I know Dane Cook used to do this for his openers. He'd walk out first and go, "Hey, this is my opener."
Oh,
give them love.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so did I actually do that? Like last time I recorded my album, I came out first, and just yeah. What's her face? Who died? The old woman.
Francesca Hilton was your opener.
Who died? The old woman.
She died a while ago.
You're not really narrowing it down.
I know.
You know that black basketball player. What's his name?
Blanking on her name.
Not Marilyn Martinez.
Joan Rivers.
No, Joan Rivers.
Oh,
thank
Joan
you.
Rivers.
She opened for you. Jesus Christ. I should have done this podcast sooner.
I had it right away.
Can you imagine really her on the dead baby show?
I had a really good 2008, Earl. I had a really good 2008.
Damn.
No, she used to come out, and this guy Brad used to live out here.
Oh, Brad Stewart.
Yeah, Brad Stewart.
I'm going to work with him in March.
Oh, okay.
In Nebraska. I love Brad.
And you could sit and start a podcast and talk about music with him also. He's got a great taste in music.
He does.
Him and I have very similar taste in music. But she used to come out and introduce him and then would go out.
That's
where I learned it. That's where I learned to do it.
I mean, I would do it like, say, for whatever reason, Kiss said, or I would say, I need Paul Stanley or someone, Gene, even Eric Singer. Just go, hey, this is our opener. Give him a break.
Right.
Except Eric would talk for 15 minutes.
Eric would actually end up doing the opening slot. So it's just not something, because I get it. Like every concert, even at this Weezer concert, I was like, you guys are horrible, man. I just want to see Weezer.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because they were trying to be funny and it just wasn't working. And they were bombing in front of 20,000 people.
Yeah.
Oh, it was rough.
You know what Craig does? Craig Gass opens for bands a lot. And he goes out and he opened for Motley Crue in Alaska. And it's just like, he was like, I'm going to die. They're going to murder me. So he does this thing where he goes out and says to these Motley Crue sound guy and that they're recording a live album tonight.
Oh.
And he basically like pranks the audience. He like makes them do stuff and says it's all going to be on the album.
Really?
Uh-huh. And then he tells some jokes and he's kind of funny. And then he goes, by the way, I'm not the sound man. I'm comedian Craig Gass. Here's Motley Crue. And then he like runs off the stage.
I was going to say, that could end horribly.
No, it ended pretty well for him, actually.
Right, okay.
But isn't that kind of a cool idea?
That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes it works. Like I know Pauly Shore used to open up for Warrant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And Warrant was a big band, but I mean, now you kind of laugh at Warrant. But like in 88, they were pretty big.
Oh, yeah.
So that matched.
Bigger than Trickster.
Trickster came out in 88.
Bad time. They needed a watch.
Well, even in their first video, they were wearing flannels and cut off and the Chuck Taylors. Like, you guys aren't grunge.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a manager. The guys cut the hair, no makeup, just rough it.
You know who else is a bad timing? The Cult.
Yeah.
I feel like if the Cult came out, because they landed right between Poison and Nirvana. And I think if they would have come out post Nirvana, they would have been a lot bigger.
I love the Cult. And Me too. I think Enough's Enough's another band that came out at the wrong time. They were marketed very differently.
What time was that?
From
ever?
What their music is. Have you ever listened to that playlist I sent you?
They're
very good. Did you ever listen to it?
Musically, if you, I will stick up for Courtney. If you don't see what they look like and you just listen to the music, you're like, this is good musicianship.
Oh, it really is.
I don't think I ever got past the name.
You've got to listen to
it. I know. And she made me a playlist and I haven't listened to it. And I apologize. I forgot about it until you mentioned
it.
I'm so sorry.
3 months ago.
I know. I almost died. Give me a break.
I know. You did almost die.
That's no excuse.
You did almost die.
Don't look at the picture of the band.
Okay.
Just listen to two songs.
All right.
And you go, okay, these guys can at least play the instruments.
Okay. Yeah.
And they write good songs.
They're from Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
All right. The Decibel Geeks guy. What's this guy's name? Chris?
Chris and Aaron love Enough's Enough. They're
yeah, he usually,
huge
he gets,
fans.
He scolded me one time for not liking 80s metal band. So on the other podcast, I played Autograph for him.
There's
so.
A lot of power pop hidden behind like louder
Absolutely.
Guitars. I mean, that's kind of what it is a lot of the time. There's a lot of power poppy songs. Like Kix has got like these really fun melodic songs, but they're just like a little heavier.
Mm-hmm.
But they're there. I mean, you know, those they're kind of just hidden there, but
well, Kix's problem was they look like an Amber Alert billboard. Like, has a musically, they are great musicians.
Yeah,
And Enough's Enough. I mean, they had a Howard Stern love them.
Uh-huh.
They were on David Letterman,
mm-hmm.
But they just they were a little late to the party. And
yeah,
Kix is just, I mean, you can't look like that and try and get girls to buy the records.
Right,
it's just not happening. It sucks.
Yeah, no. I know. So you said you had a story about the Sands we brought up earlier.
Oh my God! Yeah, there used to be.
While we were waiting for Earl
at the arena.
Damn it!
Actually, if we were doing it at one, you were early.
No, we weren't though. We. it's unbelievable how there's traffic at noon. It's like. These aren't all actors going to audition.
No, Crosstown is the worst.
No,
I mean,
dude,
it's worse than what I had coming
I drove
up.
To Pasadena to the Ice House on Saturday night at 7:30, and the 405 was backed up.
Yeah.
At 7:30 on a Saturday night.
No, it's just mind-blowing to me. Like, this drive at night would have taken me 10 minutes.
Uh-huh. Oh, absolutely.
But, you know, it's absolutely. Tuesday afternoon.
It's lunch. It's let's do lunch. Everybody literally does lunch, and our lunchtime traffic is probably the worst traffic of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I blame you guys for setting this up. Lunchtime traffic.
Hey, just be glad we're not doing it in Burbank at the studio.
When I saw we were coming here, I was so grateful. I was like, oh, thank God, because that's so far for me
going definitely.
Up there. So the Sands.
In Reno or Tahoe?
In Reno. And they had a club there, and I don't even remember what it was. Oh, it was one of the chain clubs. Not the Zone.
Catch was at the.
It wasn't Catch because that
Rising
was at
Star
the
is in Reno at the Silver Sun or Silver Star.
Silver Legacy.
Right. Yes.
Yeah,
did you
something
ever do
like
it?
That.
I did Whiskey Pete's.
Oh,
they have a comedy show there.
They did.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Not to bring up dead children again.
Oh, that's across the street.
That's where that went down, right?
That is where that went down, yeah.
At
Jeremy
Pete's.
Strohmeyer.
At Whiskey Pete's, right?
No, it was across the street at the Prim. They changed the name of the resort because of that.
Oh, okay. So Prim is on the edge of Nevada and California.
Right.
It's the first casino town, and then it's like an hour, and then you get to Vegas. Not
yeah.
even an hour.
Like 45 minutes. Yeah.
And they had a kidnapping there. I thought it was at Whiskey
Pete's. It was a murder, a rape and a murder, and the guy put the girl in the toilet.
Oh,
he's the devil. And the parent was gambling and let their kid run around a casino.
Oh, man.
Yeah, father of the year.
Right.
So, yeah, that's like the worst story ever. But the
So then Earl did stand up there.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, Earl had to do it.
I opened up for the rape. I said, hey. Hey, guys, your girl will be here in a minute. Anyone been to R. Kelly's house?
Sorry, Courtney.
No, it's okay.
Go on.
It's okay. So.
Yeah, you're good. You know, maybe you shouldn't have showed up.
Oh, man, this feels like a trickster concert. It's getting quiet in here.
People here.
What's going on with my microphone?
Uh-oh.
Can you talk into it?
Hello.
Hello.
Trickster, rat.
Okay.
Poison.
No, just kind of sectioned right there. I didn't know it
trickster,
did that.
Trickster.
No, it's no big deal. You're fine. You're good.
Trickster. My microphone's growing.
I think this is the most anyone's talked about Trickster ever.
Yeah.
Was just today.
Even absolutely. Trickster doesn't talk about it.
Trickster's mom doesn't talk about Trickster. All right. So the Sands.
So the Sands in Reno had a club, and I was featuring for Tom. What's Tom's last
Clark.
Name? Nope.
Segura.
Nope. Both really funny comics. The other Tommy's a road guy.
Tommy Sabbat.
Nope.
Oh, that's, I like
damn,
him.
What's Tom's last name? He's like the nicest guy ever. He's from the South. And he, whatever. I forget his last name, but great guy. And one of the nights, there was a woman in the crowd who got really, really drunk and decided to start heckling me. And it was for no reason. It came out of nowhere. And it was like one of those nights where everyone in the crowd was great. And then there was just like that one person.
Right.
It wasn't like there was a vibe of badness. Like it was actually a good show. And then this one woman just started in on me. And I came back at her. And people laughed. And she didn't like that. Mm-hmm. And then they tried to shut her down. And the manager went over and told her to be quiet. And then a couple minutes later, she started in on me again. I don't really remember what was said. This was a while ago. But I remember I came back at her, shut her down. It got a laugh. So then she said, I'm going to fucking stab you, bitch.
Oh.
That part I remember.
Yeah.
And she got up and started running towards the stage.
Oh, shit.
And her boyfriend or husband or whatever was like grabbing her and like trying to get her to stop. And it was literally like one of those things where you see those women going crazy, like, I'm going to kill you, bitch. And he was like holding her back and her arms were like flailing around like this. And obviously they had to get thrown out. But I was so scared to leave the showroom.
Oh, yeah.
That I stayed in there for like an hour and just hung out with the two girls that like ran the room. And we waited because I guess she was waiting outside for me.
Jeez.
And I was seriously scared. I've never had someone like rush the stage on me like that. But have you ever had anyone do that?
Have you ever had somebody rush the stage?
Went by with
I know. I got a squirrel that's been living on the top of my garage and he runs by the window every 5 minutes.
Oh, he's so cute.
Sorry.
I've never had someone threaten to kill me.
You haven't even charged the stage?
No, I mean, I'm a pretty big guy, so I don't, I've never really get heckled that much.
Yeah.
Just because I look like I could handle myself. And
right.
I think it pays to be physically intimidating. I mean, for a comic, I have a good
hold. Well, I know my
heckling's kind of dying out anyway. People are just not really doing it as much. Not like they did 20 years ago when we started.
Yeah.
I don't think. I don't get heckled at all anymore, really.
Yeah, well, heckles.
But I did.
Everybody thinks heckle is you suck, but there are very different kinds of heckles.
Very different.
Like I always say, the worst heckler is the positive heckler.
The who won't shut up.
He won't shut up, and he's trying to be cool. And Earl, you're doing great. Well, just sit there and laugh and don't comment on it.
I mean,
at the Comedy Store, I get heckled a little bit because late night the crowds are a little loose.
Right.
With various forms of refreshment in their veins. But it's not too mean-spirited.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just they want to be acknowledged.
Sure.
You know, some guy just last night yelled out Tom Brady. And what do you want? What do you want me to go with that?
Right.
So
that's a football player, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Good for him.
All right.
I'm from Boston. We love Tom Brady and my family.
All right.
But that guy just wanted to be acknowledged.
Sure.
So he had a hot chick with him.
Yeah.
So, you know, I forgot what I said, but I think his wife has a book out called How to Live Your Best Life. The model, Gisele Bündchen.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And it's like...
Mary,
it's a one-page book. Mary, the greatest football player of all time. So when your looks start fading, you can, you know... I mean, you know, I don't mean to be...
No, I don't...
You know, I don't think she's one of those people whose looks will ever fade.
But I mean, you know...
I think she'd be a good-looking corpse.
Right. It's like Laird Hamilton and his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
What's her name? God. First of all, they're both just...
Reese.
Yes.
Gabrielle Reese. Yeah,
they're both just like gorgeous. Statuesque. Yeah. Zero body fat.
Yeah.
Tan. Ugh.
No, they are good looking. Well, I hate when people yell stuff out. And then I've gotten like a complaint one time to the manager of a club about me. And I was in some... I think I was in Tombstone, Arizona,
really?
Or near Tombstone, jeez. Like way down there. And it was like some bar and it had a fun show. And
we're good.
Do you know
something.
Amy Blackwell? She's a comic from Arizona. She lives in Vegas.
No, I don't know her.
She's
Earl?
Really, really funny.
Yeah.
She's a really good comic. And I'm so surprised that like, I just want people to like know about her because she's solid.
Amy Blackwell?
Amy Blackwell. She's
Wait, she's
solid,
not the girl
solid.
Who used to do the guitar?
No.
thing?
No, that's Amy Snowden.
Oh, right.
No, Amy Blackwell's an Arizona comic. She just moved to Vegas. She's come out here and done sets a few times, but she's a solid road act. She opens really strong. Like, we just did a week with her at the Tempe Improv, and she hosted. She was hard to follow as a host.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, she was solid. So she had this gig down there, and I was featuring for somebody, I forget. And I did this joke about, so my sister was there with her friends that lived down there. Mm-hmm. They all came to the show. And I said, so I live in Los Angeles. And this girl goes, yeah, right. Like, nobody lives here. And they were right next to my sister. And my sister's all, she's very protective of me. I mean, she's the younger sister, but she used to, you know, if I got picked on, she'd beat people up. So she was like looking over at her. And then I made some other joke. I used to do this joke about blondes and made fun of blondes. And I used to say, I can't do this joke anymore. Obviously.
I know. It's just one of my favorite jokes of yours.
But I used to say, blondes may have more fun, but brunettes get raped less. That's because we're harder to see in the dark. And I can't do that joke.
Oh,
anymore.
Absolutely not.
Why not?
I just can't. I did it at UC Santa Barbara, and like four girls just got up in the middle and walked out. And
oh, really?
I was around the last time I stopped doing it. Yeah. So she just the whole time was like rolling her eyes and was really offended. She wrote like this letter to the guy who ran the room and was like, I just want to say that the girl who went on was very prejudiced against blondes.
Oh.
Okay.
Right.
And she wrote this whole letter, and then he came up to me. He goes, I just want to let you know that that woman who was heckling you, she made a complaint, and here's the letter, and I just want to let you know what I think of it. And he just ripped it up right
nice.
In front of me. Yeah.
Nice. That's good. For a poor blondes. Haven't they suffered enough?
I know, that poor girl.
The poor blonde.
But then it gets sad. My sister's like, oh, there was a guy at our table that goes, oh, I know her. Her 10-year-old's in my class. He's the gym teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl was like 23. So
if
she is
another,
a 10-year-old.
This is another dead kid story.
And then her baby died.
Oh,
and they put the baby on the stage, and we had to step over it to do the show.
Oh, I am not touring with you.
And then the audience raped a baby. And I opened again. Hey, guys, who wants it?
There's going to be a little E next to this episode.
Absolutely. Hey, a little bit
explicit.
Of a
little E.
A little warning. All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming.
I mean, I don't really get heckled much, but people want me to roast them because of roast battle.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're big on the roast battle.
So, no one's big on the roast battle.
Well, you know what? You were the roast battle. You were the
I got
the
high,
champ.
High up. Oh, no, I didn't win.
Well, you won one of them.
You were one of the guys who...
I started the show with Moses created it for
Brian Moses,
and then Jeff Ross got on TV.
Yeah,
but I was like a building block, and then got far into the show. So like when I, you know, do Canada specifically, it's such a big show in Canada that people just yell at roast me. It's like this is not really my sense of humor.
Oh, really?
You know, I just found out how much you could get paid for, you know, calling Ralphie May fat. I'm like,
right.
That's about the closest I come to getting heckled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make fun of my girlfriend.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, okay.
I judge the roast battle.
Oh, okay.
Dude, I think I was there.
I
that
tanked,
night.
Dude. I could not. It was rough.
Because you're too nice?
No, I was just miss. You ever just misfire?
Yeah, of course.
On one night, I was just misfiring left and right.
Okay. I think you did a joke about Gail in the room. Like you referenced Gail, who was my ex-girlfriend at the time. And, you know, no one knew her in the room just because it's a newer, era show.
Sure, sure.
So you have to be really spot on with the references up there.
Right. Well, that was just a side to you. I was tanking other ways. But I got out on a big laugh. That's all I
needed. That's all that matters, bro. Like,
later, man. But that's a fun show.
Yeah,
it's a rowdy show too.
I mean, they want blood. They want it's the lowest common denominator. It's basically skilled bullying.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mean that as a knock on the show, but it's hurt them before they hurt you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now is that coming back to Comedy Central?
You know, who knows?
Okay.
There's one in the UK now with Jimmy Carr, which is does very well because he's a huge comic.
Oh yeah, no, Jimmy's great. Jimmy Carr's new show, The Fix, is fantastic. Have you seen it on Netflix?
Very, no.
Oh, it's great.
Okay.
I mean, that's when things went south on the show for me is when I beat him. In
oh, show. Really? You beat Jimmy Carr?
Some executives weren't happy.
Oh, nice.
So
that guy's not afraid of a.
Oh, he'll do one about your mom if he thinks it'll get a laugh.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's so nice off stage.
Yeah, yeah.
And he asks the crowd to heckle him.
Uh-huh.
Like in his regular stand-up sets, he'll devote like 20 minutes to, okay, anyone, say anything you want.
Oh really? Gosh, that is balls.
And it never ends well for the audience.
Nope. No, now, it doesn't.
Did you, this might be a little too personal, but did you get bumped off the show?
No, I wasn't pleased with how I was being treated. Okay. So I had
and if
to,
you don't want to talk about it, you don't have to. I've worked at Comedy Central before, so I know how they are.
I think they figured out a, you know, I was the most popular roaster, you know, just, even though I didn't win. And, you know, they just, in my view, didn't really treat me that nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I don't know why you guys are mistreating me. It's like, I helped build this show to get the Jeff.
Right.
To get, so, mm-hmm. But they're good. I mean, you know, they've tried to tell me a few things that I don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not my show at the end of the day.
Sure, so. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, isn't that what, that's kind of what happened to Josh with the comedy jam. They just cut around him.
He's not even in it anymore?
The ones I saw, he wasn't on the show.
I mean, that's, I really felt for him because it's, I mean, the jam, mm-hmm. with the goddamn comedy jam.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a simple show. It's like Josh hosting, brings up you to sing, you know, whatever you want to sing. You to
something
sing,
by Rat.
Yeah, that would be my gig. Oh, Josh just said, you get Piercy on, you're on the next episode.
Uh-huh.
But Steven's hard to make plans with. But they did, you know, Roast Battle is very much, at its height, is two skilled battlers, you and me. I mean, we're all three the same level of funny going at each other. But then they got into this weird thing about, let's have Blake Griffin battle. It's like, well, he's never done it before.
Right.
Mm. It's not. Or, you know, Dolph Ziggler
and
Sarah Tiana. And they're very good friends.
Mm.
But Dolph had never done it before.
Blake Griffin was up there?
He battled Jeff.
Oh, my God. I would have loved
Who's Blake Griffin?
What?
From
Detroit
being serious?
Pistons. He was
Clippers?
He was the LA Clipper for the first 8 years of it, and then he became...
I know nothing about sports.
Oh, I love basketball. And Blake Griffin's my favorite basketball player.
Okay.
So I would have lost my mind to see that. Oh, I wish I knew about that.
But like, to me, it's like going into that with Jeff and Blake Griffin, it's like the best you're hoping for is Blake gets in a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
It's not Roast Battle.
He's pretty funny, though.
But yeah, you have writers, right?
He did stand-up at the Laugh Factory.
But Roast Battle isn't stand-up.
No, of course not. I mean,
He is funny.
He is very funny.
But you have writers on Roast Battle, too, to write stuff, right?
Most people don't admit it. I do.
Oh, okay.
I'm like Bon Jovi. I pay Desmond Child to write the hits.
Good reference.
The Desmond Child reference.
I'm obsessed with Desmond Child.
Oh, you are? That guy's a bazillionaire. He's got to be a bazillionaire.
He's a bazillionaire.
Like, I saw Lemmy's publishing checks for Motorhead. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's pretty good money. And that's basically just for Ace of Spades.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Desmond Child is just, I bought his box set, which for a straight man to say you bought Desmond Child's box set. And the hits, it's four discs of Aerosmith hits, right. Kiss hits, Ricky Martin, Kelly Clarkson,
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi's, I mean, he.
Air Supply.
Cher.
Wasn't that Desmond Child? Oh, no, that's the other guy. That's John Steinman. Sorry.
Well, there's Diane Warren. There's like the holy
Warwick.
Three.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Diane Warren.
I would get Warren and Warwick confused.
And there's Holly Knight and Desmond Child.
I'm not familiar with Holly Knight.
She's, you know, like Celine Dion. Type.
Okay.
She wrote a song for Kiss with Paul, right?
Yeah. Hide Your Heart.
Kiss but, nerds.
Yeah, everyone has writers, except for Mike Lawrence, who won this first season.
Right.
He's like very, I don't want anyone's help, and he's good enough to write his own.
Yeah, he's a good writer.
But I'm like, you know, it's not my sense of humor, so I need someone, if I would have to battle either one of you, I love you guys.
Right.
I couldn't sit there and say, well, you know, people would make fun of, you know, your sickness and stuff like that. And, you know, with Ralphie May.
Are you talking about my heart?
Your heart.
Okay. My sickness. Yeah, they would tell these people.
Well, I mean, like, I couldn't
I didn't know
that.
How to tell them, Earl, I'm dying.
You're dying up here. Great show I was on.
Well, that's another. This is all my homies from All Things Comedy were on that show.
Yeah. But, like, I couldn't do that.
Right.
You know, I couldn't call you whatever.
I don't like doing it. I write them. I've written for like 10 or 11 roasts, but I don't like being in it. I've roast mastered two roasts, one for Lisa Sunstedt and then the one in Vegas for the roadies party. And I mean, it was fun and everything, but like I in fact wrote a joke about myself for another comic. Then when they told it, it hurt my feelings and I wrote it and I'm like, okay, you know what? I can't do this.
Right.
You know, like, and a girl like on Lisa Sunstedt's roast, this girl that I write for, like she pays me and I write her entire act. She went up and said the meanest stuff about me. She said that I look like a man. She said I looked like John Lithgow in World According to Garp. I mean,
I'm not laughing at that. I'm
don't at all.
You don't at all.
I think I'm very feminine. I was just like, I don't look like a man. What the hell is this?
But that's like.
But I had to go up and rip her apart, and I felt bad about it because she was my client.
Well, I mean, there's a difference.
But fuck her. What was that?
I think there's a difference between roasting and roast battle. Because even roasting, you tie it up at the end of the. Like if you're roasting, I don't know, Joe Rogan, you know, rip into him for, say, News Radio and Fear Factor.
Right.
But then at the end, I would be like, I wish I had your career.
Of course. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you always do the nice part. Yeah.
But if you're roast battling, you're going to make fun of, you know, whatever you can. Now, granted, Joe could kill anyone.
Sure, absolutely.
But he signed up for roast battle if he did. And you're like, all right, Joe, I got to say this. He knew it was coming. Please don't hit me.
Now, not to speak ill of the dead, Ralphie May. But he did, like, I remember seeing, like, he took it wrong. Right?
He doesn't like roast. He never did.
Yeah, and he didn't.
I mean, I was in the room.
Okay. And I know you were tight with Ralph.
Oh, he's.
We both were.
Oh, you were also?
Oh, yeah. He was like, the best. But I personally wouldn't have done the show if I were him.
Uh-huh.
Because he had had one battle in the belly room before against Sarah Tiana. And Sarah's like the best.
Yeah,
she's great.
Yeah.
When that bell rings for roast battles, she doesn't care who you are.
Right. I mean,
and Ralphie, I think with roast battle, you have to be very prepared.
Yeah.
You have to sit there and look at yourself in the mirror and go, okay, like, what are they going to make fun of?
Right.
Am I balding? Do I have a big nose? Whatever. And Ralphie he didn't think there would be fat jokes.
Right.
And Mike Lawrence is such a skilled roast writer that there's going to be fat jokes layered into divorce jokes,
sure.
And then rounded off with another fat joke.
Right.
And Ralphie was just, I don't know if someone told him, like, hey, this is our best guy.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have put him against Mike Lawrence.
Right. Yeah. No, definitely.
I would have put him against like me.
Yeah.
Where it would have been, I still would have been mean, but it would have been fun.
Right.
That would have been fun with you too. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Sarah Tiana.
Sure. Like, sure.
They were good friends too. Yeah.
So I think, I didn't like how they kind of threw Ralphie to the wolves.
Well, he didn't like roast. I actually forgot. I was roast master for his 30th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Lana specifically asked me to tell everybody to please don't do any fat jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, what? What are you talking about? Doug Stanhope was like, no, I'm doing it.
Right.
You know? And so I didn't even do any mean jokes. I like did a poem and then I just sort of treated it like a stand-up show.
Sure.
I just let everybody else do what they were doing. But yeah, he didn't want that. And then I used to go to all the Last Comic Standing tapings when he was on.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a roast episode on that. And I remember, Jeff Ross said something to him about his dad dying. And Ralphie was so hurt and so upset that he left.
Oh, wow.
And he took a walk, left the studio, and the taping was on hold for a solid hour, hour and a half until they could find him.
Oh, it took him that long to walk back.
Pretty much. Well, he started walking down towards... I forget what the diner is right there, but he started walking down there.
Of course, it was to a diner.
He did.
Wow, that's heavy. I never heard that story.
It was, and I remember Kathleen Madigan was super pissed off at him.
Right.
Jay felt bad. Jay Moore felt really bad because they were like best friends.
Sure, yeah,
same
yeah.
With Jeff. Jeff's one of his best friends.
Yeah.
Jeff felt really bad, you know, like, but they didn't think he was, he kind of took it a little too hard, but you know, he was very, very sensitive.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, he wasn't mean to anybody, ever.
He was like.
Never.
Like,
yeah.
Helped more comics.
Yeah, such a great guy.
Yeah, he helped everybody.
When I was starting out, there was a behind El Compadre, a Mexican restaurant on Sunset, was an apartment building.
Yeah, that's where he lived.
Yeah, it was Jay Moore, it was Ralphie, Josh Wolf, Joey Diaz, all lived in, and another guy named Gavin who retired from
Gavin,
and who was Josh's best friend. And we used to go, and Ralphie would make us breakfast if we stayed up all night partying, or make us break out the barbecue. And
I used to have dogs sit for him, so I used to stay there all the time.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, at that old apartment
building? The old place on Gardner.
Yeah,
Jody
yeah.
Fertig still lives there.
Jody, that's right.
Jody's the manager of the building now.
Oh, that's right. And her sister.
Her sister's living in Oregon, I think.
What's her name? Gentry.
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 Yep.
I got a story about Gentry I can't tell.
Oh,
no, it's not like that.
You're married now. Girl,
it's a good looking lady. She's a good looking lady.
It's not like that. All right, guys. Thank you so much for doing the show today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry I took this long. You're one of my favorite people. Like,
oh, that's nice of you.
You're like what I hate about this business is you start together or do a lot of rooms in the early days, mm-hmm. and you kind of lose track, and that's the only thing I don't like about this business.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll close out with an Earl story. That the first time I ever saw Earl, and you don't even know this because I've never told you this story. I took a break once I started writing for TV. I took a break from stand up for like 5 or 6 years.
Yep.
I just was just sick of it, and in hindsight, I sucked. That's why I was sick of it.
No.
So I come back, and I remember sitting telling my wife, you know, I'm going to do stand up. I'm going to be out late. Blah blah blah. It's a whole other story my listeners have heard. And my first gig was at like 1:30 in the morning at a bowling alley in Canoga Park.
Sounds about right. Dante.
Yes, Dante. But I remember Dante from the Comedy Store. Yeah, and I remember Dante from the Comedy Store was booking stuff. So I called him and he's like, where have you been? You been on the road? I'm like, yeah. So I walk, it's 1:30 in the morning. I walk in and it's just now I know all comics. What? You know, all comics. There was no crowd. I was just like, what am I doing here? I can't do this. And then Jackie Cation walked in right behind me. And I thought, oh, well, if Jackie's here, then I can do this. And then we sat and watched. And Earl was the first comic I saw. You had long hair. You're wearing a hockey jersey. And you were funny. And I'm like, all right, I can hang here. And then the next five guys were terrible. But that Earl and Jackie Cation were what got me my second career in stand-up.
Well, I'm not sure if you should thank me.
Gave me my mediocre career in stand-up. Thank you, Earl.
But I mean, that was I was drawn to that room because I'm a huge fan of What's Happening.
Okay.
And Rerun, what used to be the host.
Oh, really?
No way.
Fred Barry.
Yeah, and then he died.
The late Fred Barry.
And Dante had the greatest. I love Dante. He's like the most shameless promoter ever.
Absolutely.
I mean, just Fred Barry dies, and I had 10 emails the next day saying, hey, do you know Dante's phone number? Like, Fred's not even dead yet.
Right.
And they want the gig. And Dante's like, hey, y'all, Fred Barry died. He was a good guy, but let's all come to the Canoga Bowl tonight and support the comics. the same thing happened when the security guard got killed there.
Jeez, a security guard got killed?
Yeah.
There?
I don't even, this guy just loved comedy. Uh-huh. I don't even know if he technically worked there.
Okay.
He just loved hanging out. And there's a gang initiation. The Mexican gang was on orders to kill a black person.
Holy.
James was taking out the trash. They shot him, and then, you know, Dante, like an hour later, hey, all, we just lost James to a senseless drive-by shooting, but don't forget the open mic is next week from, like, you know, 7 to 10.
Oh, man.
So,
so anyway, that's how stand-up starts.
I think the name of the show is going to be changed to Dead Babies and Trickster.
Yeah. And Fred Barry.
And Fred Barry.
Death.
At the Canoga Bowl.
Death Becomes Us. I was on, I had, she doesn't do stand-up anymore, but you remember Chris Magaha.
Of course.
I don't know if you knew Chris.
Oh, yeah, Chris was great.
And she came on here, and all, you know, she got started in Texas in the 80s, mm-hmm. so all her friends are dead. You know, like, they're all, we just did an hour of just depressing. Look it up. It's a good show, guys. Look up the
Well, I mean, it's a depressing business. I mean, I've been doing it almost 20 years. I would say I've lost 10 friends. Suicide.
Sure.
Mostly suicide.
Oh, really?
Sickness. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm trying to think. There was one year where I tweeted out, like, if you know me, stay away from me, because this year everybody I know is dropping off. Uh-huh. It was just one year, one after the other, man. It was crazy. All right, so where can we catch you, Courtney?
I have a show Friday night at the Ha Ha with Stevie
this
D.
This isn't going up for
Mike
a while. Marine.
Okay, so I'll just forget that. Actually, I'll be in Nebraska with Brad Stewart on March 1st.
At the Zoo Bar?
I'll be at the Zoo, and then I'll be at the club in Omaha. And then after that, I'll be at Penguins in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And that's the first week of March.
Are you going out with Craig?
7th and 8th. No, I'm going out on my own.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'll be with Craig in Hawaii in February. We're doing four shows, in three in Maui, one on Kauai.
Okay.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah. There's a couple. Oh, you should look up. If you're listening and you're the producer out of Hawaii, contact Courtney. Maybe give her another night.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah, there's a small little comedy community on one of the islands. I forget who it is.
Yeah, Craig said there's this one guy who lives out there, and he said he's one of the best comics he's ever worked with.
It might be that guy.
Yeah, he said he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Earl?
I'm doing the roast of Shane Doan, who is a very he's a retired hockey player for the Phoenix Coyotes.
Okay.
He played for like 21 years, so he's like an icon in Phoenix and Winnipeg, because that's where they moved from. And that's next month. It's, I think, Stand Up Live.
Okay.
And then Earl Skakel on Twitter and Instagram.
All right. And the podcast?
Inappropriate Earl.
Yeah. Okay. Just
thought I remember. It is an excellent show.
Well, you know, I get basically whoever can come to my house.
Right. Well, you're looking at
it. Some weeks, the guests are very open micers to Stephen Pearcy and everything in between. Get the bad guy from Superman 2 on, which was probably the highlight.
General Zod?
No, no.
The big guy?
Even better.
The big guy?
The big guy.
The big scary guy.
The big scary guy. The mute guy.
Well, he had a fat... I'm not trying to plug the podcast.
No, please.
But,
come on.
Yeah, I reach out to random people on Twitter. It's hard, as you guys know, to get people to come to your house.
Right.
So I was watching Superman 2 one day. I'm like, I'm probably not going to be able to get Terrence Stamp, but how about the guy who didn't say anything? And I started researching him, and he was a heavyweight boxer.
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
Like, he fought George Foreman.
What? Can you Google this guy's name?
His name is Jack O'Halloran.
Jack O'Halloran.
Okay, Jack O'Halloran.
And what was his character name? I know. I should ask you.
Nom,
that's right.
And he was amazing. Yeah. Like, he's like, well, can we Skype? I'm like, I don't do it that way.
Right.
He's like, well, can we do a phone interview? I'm like, I don't really do it that way. I'm like, can you please come to my house? It would be such an honor. Because you know, when I do my podcast, even still, I want people to go, he's on that podcast? I'll listen to that.
Right.
And he came over, and he's still a huge guy. He's like 70.
Sure, sure.
75. And we spoke for almost 3 hours.
Wow, that's like, amazing.
Because he was supposed to fight Muhammad Ali, but Ali didn't want to fight him.
Uh-huh.
I'll look that up.
Because when he was in his late 30s, or late 20s, mid 30s, he was like 6'7",
sure.
250 pounds. No one wanted to fight him.
Wow.
And then he got into acting and kind of a wild conspiracy theory guy.
Oh, okay.
So it was almost like one of those Rogan episodes where he gets into like the flat earth. And
sure, sure.
It was probably one of my better episodes.
Oh, cool. I have to check that one out. Did he mention anything about that girl? I had such a...
Oh, yeah. Sarah Douglas was her last name.
Sarah Douglas was her name? Oh, man. When I saw that as a kid, I was like, what is that?
It's beat off central.
She's evil and hot. You had no idea it was precursor to my upcoming dating life.
Yeah. I mean, I used to beat off to her and Valerie Perrine, who was Miss Tessbacher in Superman 1 and 2. The hot blonde.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Miss Tessbacher?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
So, she used to live in my neighborhood.
Oh, really?
Still looked hot.
Did you tell her the story?
No, I better leave.
Wait till you get her on the podcast.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Don't waste the oxygen, Valerie.
I had a picture of the girl from Buck Rogers, Linda Gray.
Yes.
Is it Linda Gray?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
She's
hot.
I glued it on my wall.
Jennifer. No.
Not Jennifer. Something Gray.
Linda Gray is from
Dynasty.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But she was also on Erin Gray. She was also on Silver Spoons. Yeah. She was the girlfriend on Silver Spoons.
Yes, she was the girlfriend on Silver Spoons.
Yeah, right. She was a good-looking lady. Yeah, anyway.
All right, so Earl Skakel, was it earlskakel.com?
No, I have no website.
Okay.
Just on like Twitter and Instagram, it's just E-A-R-L-S-K.
You don't need a website anymore anyway.
Well,
I don't
like
think.
Jimmy Schubert has one that, you know, is very advanced to me.
Sure.
Where you go on jimmyschubert.com and you can buy his special.
Right.
Just by clicking a button. I just found that no one went on my website when I had one.
Right.
It's all Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for coming over today and doing this. I really appreciate
it.
I will let you know. There's been a teacher strike in town, so I've been using this time being stuck at home to record a lot of episodes. So I will let you know when it goes up.
Please do.
I'm not sure. It won't be. It will probably be a couple weeks, but I'll let you guys know. And as always, thanks for listening. Murray V Comedy on Instagram, at Murray V on Twitter, Murray Valeriano Comedy on Facebook. I'm off the road for a little bit. I'm hoping to get some stuff rolling. 2019 is really starting out slow for me. I don't know about you guys, but it... Oh, I'm sorry. Courtney's all fucking busy. All right.
Oh, well, it's okay.
All right. So that's it. So, guys, thanks a lot for doing this. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. And come see these guys when they come to your town. They're very funny. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Murray.
You want to know about life on the road? It's booze, tacos, angry dwarfs, strippers waving guns,
and
bees, fights, candle flights, running with the runs,
and
blacklists, bounce checks, great, a bachelorette, trunks in the front, making out for your set,
and
middle acts doing blow, more missing merch,
and
drive the rental car past another mega church,
and
juice, keys, vagina, fist, your cell phone is gone, one big Law and Order marathon.